Thank you for blessing us, Zoe. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I'm not quite ready to get into things yet, so we're just going to simmer for a minute, okay? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you for what you're doing. Lord, thank you for the way that you've been moving. God, I thank you that you speak to us. And I thank you, Lord, that you can teach us to hear you. You said, your sheep know your voice, that we would not answer to another. Jesus, I thank you for your voice. We thank you for your voice, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we thank you for guiding us. We thank you that we can be led by the very Spirit that led Jesus and raised him back to life. Thank you, sweet Holy Spirit. If you're not in the practice of doing this, I want you to repeat after me. Holy Spirit, good morning. What do you want to do today? You might even say, what do you want to say today? Who do you want to touch today? How do you want to use these hands? How do you want to use this voice? I want to be led by you. Amen? Are we being led? Or are we doing the leading? Jesus. I don't think it's enough. Me personally, I don't think it's enough. I don't want to just know his ways and walk in them. I want to be led in them. I want him to be doing the driving. I want him to be in control. Amen? It's not to discount studying the Lord. It's not to discount spending time in his presence. But something that he taught me, I don't know, it was about a week ago. I found myself, and I do this often, some of you may do this often, where I know a portion of scripture so well that I finish it. Anybody with me? Pastor's preaching, someone's saying something, and they say, you know, blah, 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 and you finish the words, right? And he says, Chris, how often do you think about my tone and my inflection, the heart behind what I said? It's not just simply recounting and repeating the words. It's, did you capture my heart? Did you say it the way that I would have said it? Right? Y'all know, come on, somebody, y'all. We have said things with maybe an anger sometimes. And he's like, I didn't say it angrily. We've said things matter of fact. And he's like, I didn't say it that way. Are you with me today? Can you hear this today? Did you know that we can speak the truth and not speak the truth the way he spoke it and use it to inflict wounds, to hurt people? Come on. This wasn't in my notes. This is free. Just throwing this out there. And so, Lord God, when we study your word, because your word is living and breathing, you are the one there. And we ask for you to be the one there, Holy Spirit, to teach us your words. And not just the words only. Not just to have a good old memory and to sound like we know everything. But I want to know the one who is the Word. I want to know your heart. I want to know what you meant when you said that you loved me. They're not just empty words. They're not just something that I can repeat with my voice, with my vocal cords, with sounds. But I want to capture your very heart. Do you see that that's what I believe that he means when he says, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And then he tells us very shortly afterwards, abide in me, and I in you. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So Lord Jesus, we want to be in you. Jesus, some of these scriptures that I have today, we've all read before. And I just pray that your word goes forth today and we hear it in a fresh and new way. Holy Spirit, reveal the heart of the Father to us in a brand new way this morning. We want to see you. We want to know you. We want to do what you would have done in our lives from this point forward. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't have a long scripture list for you today, so I did not type it up. But if you are taking notes, the first group of scriptures we are going to be in today for a few minutes is found in Exodus chapter 31. Exodus chapter 31. And we are going to read verses 12 through 18. Exodus 31, verses 12 through 18. I'm going to move around a little bit, so I hope that's okay. The second set of scriptures that we're going to be in this morning, once again, we all should be familiar, we should know, but it's going to be found in Psalm 23. Psalm 23. Before I get too far ahead of myself, would you look across the rows? Would you look to your left, look to your right? Smile at somebody. It is so good to see you. It is so good to see you. Can you see this? Can you see what church might have looked like in the first century? The man at the podium wasn't the central focus. Ministering before the Lord and ministering to each other was the central focus. God, we went your way. Now, I didn't split us up men and women, so the women are on one side, the men are on the other. I didn't do that. Come on now. I get in trouble. But notice the way that things carry. It sounds different. It looks different. Speaking of looking different, hey, guys, will you do me a favor, because I am going to read out of this. Will you bump the lights back up? Thank you. It looks different. It sounds different. It feels different. I hope when you walked in this place, not only did you notice the chairs were different, but I hope you noticed that it felt different. Why? Because Friday, the Lord said, I want you to learn what it means to build an altar before me in your life before you ever start interceding for your city, for your church, for the ministry, for others' ministry, for anything else. Do you know what it means to cultivate an altar in your own life? What do you mean by that, Chris? I'm not familiar with altar terms. It sounds kind of weird. What are you talking about? I'm talking about a place where you meet with God. It could be a physical space. It might not even be a physical. Maybe it's riding in your car. But we're in that place, in that time, you say, I am making a dedicated, intentional effort that this time is the Lord's time. Now, I'm going to talk this morning about what the scripture says about this, but I'm not even going to be so rigid, because I don't believe Jesus is, if we truly capture his heart. I don't believe he is even so rigid as to say it has to be every morning and it can't be at night. We're not saying that. What I'm saying is that scripture will tell us, and what we have found is that often when you seek him at the first part of your day just goes better. So why would we delay it? Are you with me? Can we receive that in grace this morning? So I'm not going to beat you up if you're like, well, my study time is in the evening. Okay, that's fine. That's okay. Jewish calendar day started in the evening too, so maybe that's you. All right, we're cool, right? You're just like, I just got the first watch, which somebody said the other day. They're like, hey, 6 to 9, this is the first watch. And I'm like, that's cool. I didn't plan that, right? But God takes care of all those things. All he's looking for is, what kind of heart am I bringing? Am I ready to receive him and do it his way? Yeah. How is your posture? And so I've been praying all morning, and I hope you've been praying all morning. It's like, God, what do you want to do? And if this sermon that I feel that you've given me, that I've prepared in your presence, is not what you want to give, then all right, what are we going to do today? What are you going to say? Is that okay? Thank you, Lord. And so I was reading some scriptures, and we talked about this before, and I think it's one of those things that just does need to be something that we're reminded of as we build foundations that are on Him and not on us. And so as we were clearing things away in our altar time on Friday, it was, okay, God, we want to get back to your foundation. And He spoke very clearly to me. I had about, you know, four or five different things that I thought He wanted to talk about this weekend, and we'll get to them in other weeks, because I believe they're for us and I believe they're for this season. But He says, I want you to talk about rest. Because so many people don't rest. They're busy doing, and they might even be busy doing things for the Lord. So you're doing a good thing. But if we don't do it from a place of balance that we're going to see not only in Scripture, but also in the very life of Jesus, we're still missing something. And He wants us to do it the way that He did it. Amen? If we want Holy Spirit to lead us, we're probably going to do what Jesus did. I'm just telling you, because it's Jesus' Spirit, okay? I just mess people up just saying that. What? Jesus' Spirit, yeah. Jesus' Spirit. All right, so in Exodus 31, starting in verse 12, we're gonna spend a minute here, so just don't go away from this. It's going to reference Genesis 2, verse 3, in case you wanted to know that. But it says, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak also to the children of Israel. Surely my Sabbaths, that's plural, you shall keep. For it is a sign, someone say a sign, between me and you throughout your what? Generations. I'm in the New King James in case you were wondering. Throughout your generations. That you may know that I am the Lord who sanctifies you. We're going to talk about this, but I'm going to pose a question. Does any part of that sound like it's like, hey, this is going to be for a little bit, and then we're going to change it up, and we're going to just say that it doesn't matter anymore, and you don't need that sign, and you don't need to know that I'm the Lord that sanctifies you? Anyone can tell me where they sense that anywhere in the scripture at all? No. Okay. So we don't have it yet. Maybe it'll come. I don't know. But I don't see it here. Verse 14, you shall do what? Keep the Sabbath. We're going to say that a few times, I imagine. Therefore, because it is holy to you. It's holy. It's special. Sanctified. Set apart. Everyone who profanes it shall surely be put to death. God was not playing. For whoever does any work on it, that person shall be cut off from among His people. Work shall be done for 6 days, but the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. Whoever does any work on the Sabbath day, he shall surely be put to death. That's the second time He said it. I feel like he's pretty serious about how He feels about it, all right? We're going to get there. This is not all law. This is not all condemnation, but we're going to get there. Just go with me. Therefore, the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath, to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations as a what? Covenant, yes, but He says perpetual. What does that mean? Anybody? Come on, we got some school teachers in here. Educate us. Miss Robin's back here. She's acting like she can't speak loud. Robin, tell us what it is. All the time. It is an all the time covenant. It's an all-the-time promise, agreement. Are you with me? Okay. So we still haven't found anything where it says that this would not last, that this would be done, that this would be gone, that this doesn't matter. Then He repeats Himself again in verse 17. It is a sign. Someone say sign. Between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and on the seventh day He rested and was refreshed. My message today is called Refreshed. And so I loved this, that not only did God say that He rested, so if you didn't think you needed to rest, I'm telling you today that God rested. And it said He was refreshed. How many of anybody in here can tell me that, do you think God needed to rest? He needed this? No. So what do you think he was doing? He was being an example. We're going to get to this, one of my favorite scriptures of all time. It just, it keeps coming back, and it's one of those that I love, and so we'll read it in a minute. But in one version, it says, watch me, watch how I do things. And so God is a God that says, hey, little one, let me show you. Watch how I do things. Let me show you. Let me do this with you. He's never like, all right, John, I've got a list of things to do, and you better get them right. Good luck. That would be terrible, right? No thanks. But he says, hey, let me show you how to live. Let me show you how to walk in joy. Let me show you how to walk in peace. And John's like, but what if it goes out? He said, I have good news for you. If you do what I say, it'll never run out. Whoa, man, I want that. Think about the woman at the well when he was like, the water you're going to drink here is going to run out, but the water I have for you, it will never run out. And she's like, give me some of that. How come no one told me about this, right? She just thought he was a regular old guy. I was like, wait a second. I'm done with this. Let me find out where that is, right? And as we abide in Jesus, as we walk in Jesus, he says it's going to spring up out of us. That's awesome. Goodness, we might not be the right kind of church, but that's the kind where some of those churches, they do the, and then someone starts dancing, you know? If anybody wants to dance, y'all just go right ahead. It ain't gonna bother me any. I know, right? And when he had made an end of speaking with Moses on Mount Sinai, he gave him two tablets of the testimony, tablets of stone written with the finger of God. The coolest part about all of this is everything that he recounted to Moses, he wrote the first ones. Did you know that? When Moses gets mad and breaks them, guess what God says? All right, you're writing the next one, buddy. Isn't that neat? I don't know if you knew that or not, but this was the first one. He breaks them, and then he has to help forge the second pair. We get righteous anger. Get it. But can you be righteous in your anger and not take it into your own hands and let the Lord deal with it? He's big enough to fight his own battles. He doesn't need you or me. Are you with me on that? It's so easy to look at someone else's life, and because you've been through it or because you know it, you've walked with it through the Lord, it's like, all right, let me tell you how to do this, Jeremiah. You're messing it up. How dare you? What are you doing? And God's like, I didn't ask you to do that. Back off. Me and him got it. We have this figured out. If I need your help, I'll ask. Most of the time, he doesn't. Amen? Amen? And usually all he needs is, hey, Jeremiah, brother, you're in sin, man. You probably want to check that out a little bit. And then Jeremiah's going to be like, am I in sin? Lord, what's going on? And that's all he needed to go before the Lord. We don't need to beat him up. Someone maybe doesn't like that because that's all that's been modeled for us by man. Whew. So if God modeled all this for us and he found refreshment, why wouldn't we do it? Oh, church, why wouldn't we do this? Why wouldn't we rest? Why would we do it any other way? For money? For our name? I'm in the starting your own business world. So do we do it for marketing? Well, I need that seventh day. I need to get my name out there. I need to make money. I need to get customers. I need to get clients. Nope. Why? Why would we not rest? Why would we not do what he does? Because we believe the lies and we traded tradition and religion for his good and perfect gifts that he wants to give instead. Well, this is what we ought to do because this is what church people do, right? Did you know I am a living testimony that you can be in the church every single time the doors are open and still be a hellion? Anyone else? Every single time the doors were open, mom brought me there or sent me on the bus. I went to church and I still did everything that I wanted to do. It was not until I surrendered to his way that he began to change me. And then guess what? I got another change because I was studying a doctrine and a theology that was really messed up. I think John said it this way, you know, one day, I don't remember when, but he was like, you know, when we don't align with something, we make bad theology to try to, you know, make it make sense. And that's what I was in. So I was like, well, I'm moving along, allowing God to change me. And then I start reading stuff and I'm like, I thought that stopped. And just like this, like, I don't see where it stopped, God. Why am I being told that it stopped? Because we were disobedient and we had to have something in there that's like, well, here's where it stopped. If you stretch it just this way and maybe you flip it into Portuguese and then we like interpret it that way, that it maybe means this. And it's like, the Bible wasn't written in Portuguese. What are you talking about? Why would we translate it four times to make it make sense? If it doesn't simply make sense, then guess what? It doesn't. We're trying to put it in a box that it was never meant to fit in. Are you with me today? Did you know that we do that? And so on behalf of all pastors everywhere, because they may not do this, I am sorry. I am not your end-all be-all. I'm not your singular translator and interpreter of the Bible. His name is Holy Spirit. I repent for all pastors everywhere that tried to take his place in your life. The Holy Spirit still does speak. God still does speak. You still can't hear his voice. You do not need to hear it through me. I am here to poke you and prod you and like bother you and annoy you a little bit so that you'll go back to God and like, God, this preacher is annoying as all get out. He has got to stop. And at the very least, I'm pointing you here and pointing you here because you're like, he's got to leave me alone. Like, just don't. Right? That's what I think our job should be. Like, I'm the great poker. Like, just come on. Right? There's something better. Better than what we're doing. Better than what we have. Better than what we're walking in. Because if it's not, whew, we're in the wrong thing, y'all. If it doesn't get better than what we've experienced up to this point with religion and tradition, we're in trouble. But I have good news for you. I believe it with all of my heart and all of my soul. Every time he changes me, every time he grows me, every time he moves me, I'm like, it gets better. I want more because it keeps getting better. Like, why would I say no? John, I mean, come on, right? Anybody else? Me and him are connected. We're like, yeah. Anybody else? Experience that it gets better. That we truly can taste and see that the Lord is good. That we can magnify his name because he's good. And that it doesn't get tiring. It's not boring. I got to touch on that a minute. I don't know what their vote is now, but some time back I told everybody that I was talking to the kids about church and life and ministry. And I hope you know this is our running thing. I don't mean any offense to this. I actually believe the Lord supports and blesses this. But I said, guys, if for any moment I put ministry above you, I quit. Any moment that I put ministry above my family, I quit. And they're like, what? I was like, that's not what God called me to. He called me to love him and to love you. Ministry and job and those things, those come after. So if this takes the place of both of those, because I could be doing things for God and not really love God, come on. But if it comes before you guys, if it comes before him, I quit. And then we started talking about church, and I said, what's your favorite thing about church? And so they shared a few things. What's your least favorite thing about church? And almost with just resounding, like they were just perfectly harmonized. It's boring. I'm like, oh, gosh, I don't want to be the boring church, right? Come on. I'm with them. Hey, I've been in some boring churches and boring services, and many of them have been ours. So, like, I'm not knocking anybody on that. But I'm like, God, your house, your presence, your worship, if we're doing it for you and we're doing it together, man, I hope it's not boring. It shouldn't be boring. Right? And so, once again, I'm not going to put them on the spot. I don't know what the feeling is now. Like, hey, is church okay? At the very least, lately, we've been like, hey, we're going to go to church today. And instead of hearing, again, they're like, okay. All right, we're cool. So I think we're moving on in the right direction. That church is not boring. Amen. They might not have the vocabulary to say exactly what it is currently, but at the very least, you see that it's changing, that it's transforming, that it's growing. Amen? Do what? Yeah, they want to go to church, but they don't want to work at the church. All right, I'm with you. Amen. There's another scripture that Peter shares very shortly after the Holy Spirit descends on them at Pentecost, and it's found in Acts chapter 3, verses 19 through 20. 21. I'm just going to read it. It says, "Repent, therefore," he's speaking to the Pharisees because they were not having a good time with what they were doing. They did not like what they were doing. They were shaking things up a little bit, and they were upset. And he says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted." And the word that he used there was basically turn back to him. So he knew exactly what he was saying. He used the word that he knew that they would understand. And he says, you need to repent, therefore, and be converted. Literally turn back to God so that your sins may be blotted out. Means that God chooses specifically to never think about or remember them again. Blotted out. Why? So that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. I want to give you an example of this. This is in the tech world. When we speak about a refresh, you're speaking about a few things. You could be speaking about a complete operating system overhaul. Like, all right, so put it in layman's terms, you had Windows 95 and we just took you to Windows 11. You're like, all right, I don't know how I feel about this. I like doing things some of the old way. But if I'm being honest with you, Pastor Chris, I had viruses all the time. I don't know what I was doing. So at the very least, I don't have viruses anymore. Let's try this Windows 11 thing out, right? It could be as jarring as some of you are like, all right, I went from Windows to Mac. I don't know how I feel about this. Like the bar is at the top and it moves around weird and it just looks a little bit weird. And they have the whole Apple thing with the bite out of it. We're not even going to go there this morning, but it's different. It's a little different. Then you have the really weird ones, and I love every one of you, but you have the really weird ones and you got the Android users, the Google people. And it looks real different. It sounds different. It makes different noises, right? But you went through a complete system overhaul. It wasn't at all the same that it was before. It's different. Looks different, sounds different, functions differently, right? Then you have a refresh where you go from one level to another. You go from this amount of hardware and you get 2 or 4 or 6 or 8 times more powerful. It's like, whoa, I got a huge upgrade. Man, where I could store like all of my cooking recipes on one hard drive, now I can store it on a quarter of the hard drive. Y'all get ready. I'm about to add some more recipes. Watch out now. I had thousands of pictures. Now I'm going to be able to store millions of pictures. Yeah. Right? Are you tracking me? And so times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord through the gateway of repentance, through the gateway of turning back to him so that we may enter his presence, because in his presence rest and refreshing are found, we get an upgrade. Why would we want to continue functioning the way that we were when there's something that he's telling us is noticeably better right over here? Are you with me today? And then calling back to what we read in Exodus, the Lord rested and was refreshed. He didn't need it. He was modeling it. Are we all on board today? Okay. Verse 20. And that he may send Jesus Christ, who was preached to you before, whom heaven must receive until the times of the restoration of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. I love this. It's talking about creation. It's talking about The actual wordage that he used there, I think I have it in my notes. In this verse, the refreshing and restoring that he's mentioning, he's using the direct words that are a callback to Genesis 3:8 when he was walking with Adam and Eve in the cool breeze of the day. That's the kind of refreshment that he wants for you. He said, hey, remember when I took your hand and I said, hey, come on, come with me. Come on, come on. We're going to go this way. And then we're going to go this way. And I'm just having a good day. Y'all don't even know. I'm surprised she let me do this. So I'm having a really good day that Ava's walking with me. There's nothing I want more right now than to hold my daughter's hand and let her go with me. She's being led. She doesn't know where we're going. She's like, man, what is dad going to do today? I don't even know, y'all. But she is going with me. And it's not boring, right? I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm with dad. It's going to be all right. And that's what God's saying. That's what I want to restore. Remember the closeness. Remember the intimacy. Remember the way that we were able to be with each other and nothing else mattered. Nothing else tried to crowd out. Nothing else tried to take your time and attention away from me because it was all supposed to be mine anyway. That's why we were created. Are you with me? I want that back. He wanted it back so much that Jesus died and bled out for all of us, and he would still do it again. Amen? Are you seeing that today? Does that bring you joy today? Romans 8:18-22, he says, yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory that he will reveal to us later. Goodness. This one excites me. I'm going to read it again, okay? Yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory he's going to reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who his children really are. See, right now, like, you kind of have to be a little light that shines in order for people to say, something's up with you. But in that day, God's going to say, those are mine, just in case you were all wondering. Those are mine. I fight for mine. I provide for mine. I take care of mine. If you come against mine, guess what? You picked a fight with the wrong one. Are you with me today? Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. Remember that time in the garden, the cool of the day, the walking with God, it shifted. Creation didn't make that choice. Man did. Against its will, all creation was subjected to God's curse. But with eager hope, the creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. That's some of the glory that he's going to reveal to us later that doesn't compare, okay? For we know that all creation has been groaning, as in the pains of childbirth, right up to the present time. Isn't that powerful? We're told in scripture that if God's people won't praise, that the rocks would cry out. Come on, somebody. It knows. Why don't we? You're like, did he just say that an inanimate object that has no soul gets worship more than we? That's actually what it says. Why would we wait until the rocks cry out? It gives a whole new definition to rock and roll, right? Like, ah, let's roll it down. Like, yeah, you know, goodness. Jesus, I don't want the rocks to cry out. I want to give you praise with all that I have, all that I am. I didn't put it in here, but if you continue reading in that portion of scripture, he even talks about the Holy Spirit groaning. Man, not only creation groaning for what it once had, but the Holy Spirit knows the real deal. And he knows how to groan and pray and intercede and lift up the name of God that we can't even fathom, but he knows exactly how to pray. That's why it's so important to pray in your heavenly language on all occasion. The word of God says in Ephesians 6, he says, make all prayer and supplication in the Spirit at all times with all sorts of prayers, one version says. Have you ever been praying in the Spirit and then it just kind of shifts on you and it kind of takes a big old left turn and you're like, whoa, that one sounded like I was fighting. And then that one sounded like I was weeping. And then that one sounded like I was just, man, just going in deep. And you still, like I said, you're not aware of what's being said, but you're aware because the Spirit lives in you. You're aware of the emotion. You're aware of the tone. You're aware of the volume, the power that rises up from it. You're still in control, so you still have, you know, the faculties kind of going on and the hamster spinning, if you will, right? And he's getting it right now. Like, what's going on? I don't know. Anybody else? That hamster goes, man, and I'm just like, I don't know how he does it. I had someone say it this way. That when our heart is burdened, so think about it this way. You know, my mind has been on Israel. And I've noticed my prayer language change. That what's in my heart, my natural prayer, my natural understanding, also affects the way that I hear Holy Spirit interceding in those groanings, interceding in that prayer language that I don't understand or that is not quickened to me to be able to interpret myself. It sounds different. It feels different. And so when we are depressed, we impact Holy Spirit in us. And so I believe he starts saying, this is a child of God. They ought not to be depressed. And so the prayer that he prays for us is that our spirits will be lifted up. Do you see that? Anybody has experienced that other than me? Maybe I'm just crazy. I'm a weird one. That's okay. But your circumstances affect that. And that's why he encourages us, because we have the mind of Christ, to be mindful of what we let in our mind. Are you taking thoughts captive, or is he doing all the work? Well, I'm just rolling over for every thought that comes my way. Man, I don't know where it's from. Oh, you know where it's from. Lord Jesus, elevate the level of discernment in this room in Jesus' name so that we know where it's coming from. And we say, that's not mine. Out. Resist the devil and he'll do what? Some people aren't resisting and they're like, oh Jesus, you just give me the hardest of battles. I'm just fighting for you. And he's like, that ain't no battle that I sent your way. Are you crazy? You ain't a warrior right now. You're a weenie. Stop it. Don't do that. I got a battle for you, but it ain't that one. You were not given the hardest battle. You let that thought, you let that thing come in, and you did not have your guard up, and now you're reaping the consequences. Is God still willing and able to help you? Yes. But that was not the battle he sent for you. That was a distraction. All that was free. Guys, come on. All right, we're going to wind back to Sabbath. Mark 2:23. And it happened that he went through the grain fields. This is Jesus. On the Sabbath. This is a verse that, oh goodness, I was taught so many years, so long, that he was against Sabbath. He went through the grain fields on Sabbath, and as they went, his disciples began to pluck heads of grain. And the Pharisees said to him, look, why do they do what is not lawful on the Sabbath? By what is not lawful, they mean work. But he said to them, have you never read what David did when he was in need and hungry, he and those with him? Now he went into the house of God in the days of Abiathar the high priest, and he ate the showbread, which is not lawful to eat except for the priests. And also he gave some to those who were with him. And he said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also Lord of the Sabbath. Jesus was teaching them something. And if you read scriptures like this, and there's a few of them, there's at least three accounts of this in the four Gospels, Mark, Luke, and Matthew. But in these stories, he's actually saying that they did not break the Sabbath. They're not bad. They're not doing something wrong because their understanding of Sabbath was wrong. God did not stop all work. God stopped the work that he was doing. To say that God ceased all creation, all work, of any kind, is wrong. You're reading the scriptures wrong. Jesus, or God, Sabbath, he stopped what he was doing and began to do something different as a model for us. And so when they're like, hey, they're doing something that's bad, he then gives them stories of, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath? Should we heal on the Sabbath? Some of the healing that Jesus did were creation miracles. And they're saying he can't do that. But I'm here to tell you that, and we're going to kind of cover a couple of scriptures, if Jesus is Lord of all and Lord of Sabbath, well, guess what? I think he knows best. And I think man-made tradition and laws that they actually added on top of the original Ten Commandments were the ones they were mad that they were breaking. But he said, I didn't give you those. You made those. So you might be guilty of breaking your law, but as it pertains to the law that comes from Jesus Christ, no one broke it. All right? Are you with me today? I'm going to show you. Why does Jesus get to say what he says? Well, first off, as I said, he is Lord of all. John 1, 1 through 4. I'm just going to read these real quick. John 1, perfect chapter. You want to know who Jesus is? Look at John 1. John 1, 1 through 4. In the beginning was the Word. Someone say the Word. That word is capitalized. The Word is a person. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. All right, no mistaking. He was in the beginning with God. And all things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. It is really hard to split hairs on this because that's very clear. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Jumping down to verse 14, he says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. His name, in case you were wondering, is Jesus. Jesus is the Word in the flesh form. So when you study the Word, I pray that you're studying the Word. Are you with me? Holy Spirit, teach me the Word. Teach me the one that is Jesus. Colossians 1, 9 through 18. I'm going to go through these kind of quick. But it's just reestablishing that Jesus is Lord of all. If all things were made for him and through him and by him, he gets to tell us what the rules are, not us. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Colossians 1, 9 is where we're at. Verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful. Someone say fruitful. Fruitful. Jesus, help us to be fruitful. Being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Goodness. Are we full of joy? Are we being fruitful in these things that he's called us to? All you got to do is look around. All you got to do is inspect. That looks like some bad fruit, or that looks like some really good fruit. What kind of fruit are you chomping on? He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us, or translated us, into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things consist or have their being or hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. What place does Jesus hold at the altar of your life? If you are the movable temple of God, what place does he hold? Does he get to lead you? Does he get to tell you, hey, we're going to re-swizzle, we're going to change things up today? We're not going to do that. We're going to do this. Or does that bug you? Does that cause a religious spirit to rise up and like, I don't do it that way? Well, you're going to today if you follow the Holy Spirit. I don't pray like that, Lord. Well, we were about to learn. I don't dance. Well, I'm not a dancer. We were told dancing in church is wrong. Well, if you're following my spirit and I say to dance, then guess what, buddy? We're going to dance. We're going to bust a move, right? And it's for him, not for me, not for you. Did you know that God often calls us to do things that we don't want to do? And he tells us to go places that we don't want to go. He doesn't really care about your opinion. Sorry, cupcake. You didn't get to meet at that table. That was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That was their table. And this is the work they said to do. And if I love him, and if I say, Lord God, you have all of me. You purchased me with your blood. You placed in me a deposit, a seal, the Holy Spirit, that you want back, that I am to be a steward of. I will do whatever you say. You better watch out. Because what you've just agreed to is whatever he says, even the stuff that doesn't look good or sound good. I told somebody one time, I said, I feel that God has called us at some point in my life, I just know that I know that I know, is we're going to be missionaries and we're going to be specifically called to the Middle East. Are you sure about that? It's really dangerous there. That's what he said. I agree that it's dangerous there. I told him the same thing, but that's what he said. And so when he says it's time, guess what we're doing? All right, come on, let's go, you know, pack up all the stuff and let's move on, right? Do we function that way? Should we function that way? Yes. We act like we're telling him something he didn't know. God, it's dangerous over there. They kill Christians. You think he didn't know that? Psalm 23. I think we're going to wrap up after this one. There's a few things I wanted to impart from this scripture, because I wasn't actually going to do it, and then I just couldn't help but continue to be drawn to it, and I was worried for the familiarity of it that we wouldn't see what maybe he's saying. And so the first couple things I wanted to share is the first sentence, the Lord is my shepherd, Adonai Roeh. Can you say that? Adonai Roeh. That is, the Lord is my shepherd. Roeh is different than roah. Roah is to shepherd something, to lead something. Roeh is the shepherd. Are you with me? And so when we say Adonai Roeh, we're saying the Lord is my shepherd. He's the one that leads me. And there was this neat song, some that may be online, you may know this, and I hope I do it justice because many of them know it better than me. But there's a song that they sing, and it's Dayenu. And it's basically the idea is in the second part of this, I shall not want, I lack nothing. There's a different word that they use there. But as I was reading this, he brought my mind to Dayenu, and I hadn't studied it in a long time. But Dayenu basically finishes the sentence this way. The Lord is my shepherd, and if he did nothing else for me other than be my shepherd, that is enough. Are you with me today? So Adonai Roeh Dayenu. You are enough. You did enough. You don't need to do more for me to love you. You don't need to do more for me to serve you. He did, just so you know. But he didn't need to do that because this alone was enough. And so they sing the song, they say, if he had only brought us out of Egypt, Dayenu. If he had only given us Torah, the law, the word, Dayenu. Are you following me today? So I encourage you, I want you, as I read this psalm, would you think about the things in your life that if God had only done this, can you let that be your Dayenu moment? Like, you have done enough. You are more than enough. I thank you for all the abundance, all of the overflow, all of the extra. But you're enough. I believe that you're enough. Amen. So the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Another version said, I lack nothing. Where are you today? Can you say, even when your bills aren't paid, I lack nothing? Can you say when your heart is broken, situations and things have arisen, they're affecting you, clearly they're affecting you, but Lord, in your presence, you're enough and I don't lack anything. I'm not in want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I love this version because it says he makes me. Sometimes I don't want to lie down in green pastures. Sometimes I'm busy. Sometimes I got stuff to do. And I think about this as a little kid. And have you ever seen the little kid that just will not stop? And you're like, how do they have all the energy? Where does it come from? They're like churning that stuff out. It's like, where are you going? And they're like, I'm busy. Travis knows what I'm talking about. He's sitting here like, oh, Jesus, Jesus, just give me some of that energy, Lord. But they're like, I'm busy. And Travis is like, I'm going to make you lie down in green pastures, and you are going to like it. Yes. I'm going to grab my staff. Don't worry, y'all. Travis is a good dad. But I'm going to grab that staff, and we're going to lay down. Some of us need that. I often say it this way. It's like herding kittens. Kittens don't want to be gathered. Okay? You can't raise them like sheep. They go buck wild. Sometimes he needs to make us lie down in green pastures. Sometimes he needs to say, Wole, I know you better than you because I formed you. I was there. And it's time to rest. And we can choose to fight his rest and keep doing it in our own strength, or we can choose to lie down in the green pastures and receive his strength. And then guess what? When we put our hands back to work, we find that we're doing it better than we were doing it by ourselves. We find that we have new strategies, new insights, new understanding. We're like, I've looked at this for hours. I didn't see that. You ever say that to yourself? Like, man, I've been going at this for hours. How did I not see that? The answer is Holy Spirit. And the answer is, would you do it his way? Sometimes he gets freebies, but most of the times he says, no, we're going to work for this one. I'm going to teach you something. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Whew, he's so gentle. Still waters. Yeah, he can move them. They could be raging, but he's the one who can quiet all of that. He restores my soul. There it is again. That refreshment, that upgrade, that revitalization. You're being infused. You get a Holy Spirit blood infusion right there in that moment. Your soul is restored. And in Jesus, there's no sickness. In Jesus, there's no aches and pains. In Jesus, there's none of this, I've got allergies. My voice is going away. Y'all, listen. Jesus' voice ain't going away. He restores souls. Y'all, I've seen some people that when they told me their age, I was like, I would have guaranteed you were 30 years younger. Guaranteed it. What is their secret? I walk with Jesus. I do what he says. I don't proclaim sickness over my body. I proclaim that I have the power of life in me, and I'm going to use the life and the breath in my lungs to glorify my God and my Father. I don't say, oh, I don't think I can get out of bed today. Oh, I'm in so much pain. There's death and life in the power of the tongue. What kind of fruit are we eating? He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Because he conquered death, hell, and the grave. What did that verse say a minute ago that we just read in Colossians? Firstborn of the dead. He resurrected. God said that he gave him the authority to lay down his life and to pick it back up again. There's no one or no thing, no religion that functions that way. All those guys are dead. Jesus rose. Jesus is alive. The tomb is empty. It was borrowed. He didn't buy it, he borrowed it, okay? So I will not fear death. I will not fear evil because you are with me. Your rod and your staff. So the one you need to poke me with and the one that I recognize that you are Lord and Master and you are the boss, not me. All I got to do is see him. Y'all know, y'all got grandpas and grandmas, moms and dads. Did they give you the eye? All you got to do is see the look and you're like, I ain't doing that. My kids know. Dad has the eye. Bad things will go down if we proceed with this course of action. All right? Are you close enough to your Savior that all he has to do is show you the rod and show you the staff and you recognize that you're my leader, you're my Savior, you're my shepherd, and you are my master? They comfort me. I want my kids to say, Dad, you know what? That eye that you give us, it comforts me. Right? Because I know that you have my best interest at heart. I trust you. I know that you want my good. We parents get a little squirrely. Sometimes we're too controlling. Come on, somebody, amen. We want the best. Sometimes we need to allow the Lord to lead us and help make us better parents. This part's heavy. Go with me here. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Some people have been praying, God, I'm so tired of the accusations. I'm so tired of the lies. I'm so tired of the way they're talking, the way that they're acting. It's really hard to love them. Would you just take me out of this situation? And he says, no. This chair, in the presence of your enemies, this one's made for you. And you have to be willing to sit in the presence of your enemies in the midst of all that, because I want you to shine like a light. And when you're humble and you receive those accusations, will you allow me to raise you up? Will you allow me to fight for you and not fight for yourself? See, when we sit in the presence of our enemies, we want to fight. We want to let our voice be heard. We want to defend. We want to tell them, no, that's not what I'm doing. That's not me. And he says, it takes more humility to be silent and to let me fight your battles than it takes for you to defend yourself and to right the wrong. I'm teaching you, son. I'm teaching you, daughter. Will you just sit there in the presence of your enemies? Will you allow my joy to encompass you? Will you allow it to be seen on you? Those guys are going to be like, I am talking the worst smack about them, and they're sitting there smiling. What is going on? Why? It's going to drive them nuts, y'all. I'm telling you. Why are they happy? Why are they okay? What's different? That test that he's using for you, and I'm sorry to be cheesy, but that test is going to be a testimony, and you're going to get to tell them about God's story and the way that he transformed and changed you and the fact that he's willing and able to do it for them. But if you talk and defend yourself, you're not going to be any better and you're not going to be able to do it. Are you with me? So can you sit in the presence of your enemies and lock eyes with your father at the end of the table and watch him smile over you, watch him laugh over you, watch him talk. He's me whispering, shh, shh, shh. All good things. Can you focus on that? Or are you focused on what they're saying? Then, like there's a break here. Then I will experience things. The anointing of my head with oil. And it runs down my head. His good oil. His presence running over. running over in my cup, running over in my life, running over in every part, every single thing is touched. It's saturated with his oil because I was willing to wait there. I was willing to be silent in that place. So now my cup is running over. And guess what? As I just got done saying, now you're operating out of the overflow. Christy was pouring out, it was so funny because God gave me this picture as I was putting this together. Christy was pouring out cat food in some of their bowls. We have one of those little refillable bowls. And as she closed it up, the dust poofed up and she's like, like, what's the matter? And I'm like, what's going on over there? She's like, I got cat food dust, you know. I don't know how to explain it. She's like, oh, you know, it just doesn't go away, right? And God said, that is the picture of what some of my people are doing. Instead of operating out of the overflow, instead of giving them the fresh and the best, they're still giving them the dust of last season, the dribble. Well, that might have been good wine, but I can't tell because I can only get a little bit. It's been diluted so much over time, and I'm still trying to pour it out as if I've got plenty. And God's like, I've got all the plenty that you need. Are you receiving the new wine? Are you receiving the new wineskin? Come on, somebody, because the dust can be in the wineskin too. As it gets emptier, what do you think goes in? Air, right? And then it gets trapped up and locked up. Kind of visualize this with me. And I've popped a little cork on it, right? Think about the old Western movies. You ever wonder, go with me here. I'm a visual guy. Old Western movies. Some people like them, some people don't, but I've watched so many of them that I just can't get it out of my mind. They grab the canteen, and sometimes it's leather, sometimes it's metal, and there's water in it, and they're parched. And so you'd think they'd drink it, and they'd be like, ah, but usually they're like, you know, they're like struggling to drink it down. Guys, I'm willing to bet, I'm no expert. Pastor Glenn, tell me if I'm wrong. Well, there's probably a little bit of dust in there. And what they got was mostly dust and not as much water. And so they're like, I'm trying to savor every morsel of water on the speck of sawdust or the speck of sand because we're in Oklahoma, y'all. And it wasn't refreshing. But goodness, if they would have just carried an extra fresh, unmessed with, unaltered little canteen or skin, you know. It's like, all right, that one's done. That one's served its purpose. It's done its time. I'm going to get a fresh one. I'm ready to have a good drink, right? I'm ready to get my fill. I'm ready to operate and drink from the overflow, not from the leftovers. What are we operating in, church? Are we operating out of the overflow? Are we trying to pass leftovers? If you live in my house, we are not fans of leftovers. It's hard. It's a hard life. Christy just said, I am. What are you talking about? I encourage you, as it pertains to spiritual things, say, God, I'm done with leftovers. I want the fresh. I want the new. Let me back that up. All right, Christy. The only leftovers that are acceptable are the ones that, like spaghetti, you know how it gets real rich the next day? It's like, man, all right, the flavor got, you know, baked in. All right, we'll let that pass, okay? There's some of that. We're not going to do that sweeping motion. I'll give you that. But, Lord, we want the fresh. We want the good. Amen? Verse 6, and we're finishing it up. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. Can I show you this? Jeremiah, would you start walking that way? Goodness and mercy, man. Go faster. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. He's trying to get away from me. Goodness and mercy. Goodness and mercy. Like, if he would have accelerated, y'all, we would have been running this place down because goodness and mercy are chasing after you. That's what the scripture says. It's not just following. You are not going to get away from goodness and mercy if all of this is yours. Are you with me today? So you can sustain, you can withstand all of these things, the valley of the shadow of death and the presence of your enemies, because goodness and mercy are chasing you. You can't get away. All right? All the days of my life. Say, all the days of my life. Oh, all the days of our life. All the days of our life. And I, say this with me together. Let's say this last part. And I will dwell. I will abide. Yeah. In the house of the Lord forever. Word of God says that it was Jesus' custom to go away often and spend times in prayer with his Father. We can do this. We can dwell. We can abide in his house forever because we're going to the one who dwells there. We're going to the source. And in him is all that fullness and all that peace and all that joy. And we're literally tapping into the source and he's saying, it's yours. Is that where we're at today? Is that where we want to be? Maybe you're not there yet, but that's where I want to be. Amen. Well, I want to encourage you with this verse that ties that together. My mind went here. It's Philippians 4:19, and it says, my God shall supply all your need. Notice I didn't say need. According to his riches and glory by who? Christ Jesus. That means when I don't think that I have enough, if I have Jesus, I do. That means if I don't know how bills are getting paid, because I have Jesus, he helps me. He takes care of those things. That means when I'm worried, when my heart is broken and I'm struggling, because I have Jesus, he heals me, he binds me. He takes care of my wounds and he applies his oil of joy, his oil of healing to my heart and to my life, and he heals me. My need was Jesus. It always was. And when I have him, I will lack nothing. Read that full chapter. Paul gets into it. He's like, you want to know who suffered me, right? Let me recount this for you. All the stuff there's like, oh, my life is bad. He's like, all right, let's read Paul's rap sheet, right? You know, he had some stuff. And he says, none of it, not a single bit of it matters compared to knowing Jesus. All my need is supplied because of Jesus. All of it, every last part. Be encouraged today. If you don't know Jesus, let us introduce him to you. But if you know Jesus, say, Lord, increase my expectation for the unknown. Show me things that I didn't think I could do, places that I didn't think I would be, situations that I didn't think I could impact or change because I was scared and I was operating out of my flesh and my strength. I want to operate out of your strength. I want to operate out of your spirit. I want to see those new things. I want to experience those new things in my life. No longer will my story be, well, look what the enemy took. Well, guess what? We're about to go and rob the enemy blind because that's what God's people, that's what he's planned for us, is we're going to rob that house and we're going to take back all the things that the enemy stole. Amen? So I want to walk in that. I want to go in that way. Would you stand with me and would you lift your hands to heaven? Yes, 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 yes. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm going to have Pastor Travis pray for us. But I just want to declare a few things in the house today. Jesus, we opened our time at your leading with testimonies of healing, testimonies of your goodness, testimonies of your power. And so, Lord, that is still swirling around in this room. You've still stirred it up. And so if anybody in here needs healing in their body, all they have to do is just say, that's me. They don't even have to raise their hand because their hands are already raised. They're already standing. All they have to do is receive it. And so, Lord, if they needed their ears unclogged, if they needed their shoulders healed, if they needed their smell to come back, their taste to come back, their voice to come back, if they needed rashes on any parts of their body to go away in Jesus' name, Lord, all those things are available for your people and more because, Lord, there is no sickness in you. And so, Lord, would you pour it out? Like no one's even touching them. Lord, this is you and you alone. On the 12th, at 12:38, you were healed from Jesus. You were healed from Jesus. And so walk in his joy. Walk in thanksgiving. Lift up his name and test it out. Test it out. Because he's healed you. He and he alone has done it. And Lord God, I want to thank you for it. I want to praise your name. And I want to tell you that you are good and you are worthy of it all. Dayenu, Lord God. If that was just all of it, Lord God, it's more than enough. And I thank you for all the more than enough. Adonai Roe. Thank you, Good Shepherd. Thank you, Good Shepherd. Pastor Travis.
Lord, I thank you, Father, that we can be still and know that you are God. Lord, I thank you, Father, for this message, just taking us back to resting, to be still, Lord. But how can we know that you are God unless we've seen you be God, unless we've experienced you being God? So, Lord, I pray, Father God, that we can do that exact thing, that we can be still and know that we can look to the hills to where our help comes from. We can look to the hills to see who you are. We won't be the wedding guests that decided not to show up because they were too busy in their schedule or their businesses or their ventures, that they didn't need to show up to the wedding. Lord, but we clear our businesses, we clear our ventures, Lord. And we let you realign them, Father God. We let you refresh them, Father God, to where they are your businesses. They are your ventures, Lord. I thank you that you are Lord of the Sabbath. And part of Lord of the Sabbath is leading us to walk in a Sabbath. Not from the law mindset, but that the resting with you, resting with each other mindset. I thank you, Father God, that our production, Lord, does not determine our righteousness, Lord. I thank you, Father, that our widgets that we put out, Father God, you are not impressed by, Lord, but you are impressed by the posture of our hearts. Thank you, Lord, that we rest, Lord, at the table in the presence of our enemies, Lord, that our enemies can see that we have your stamp of approval, that we have your letter of recommendation, Father God, that we are walking in your righteousness and in your favor, Lord. And I thank you, Father, that we relinquish any worries or concerns about what they think. Thank you, Father, for the testimonies that we have seen today and experienced even from Friday night and this morning. Thank you, Father, for just the trajectory and the future, Father God, that you have for this body, Lord. We just walk in that. We walk in that. We revel, Father God, in who you are this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Guys, will you pull up the giving slide for us? One of the things the Lord tells us to do is bring our tithe. Bring our offering to the storehouse. And he gave them different offerings based on situations. And so there were praise and thanksgiving offerings. And so if the Lord touched you in a special way, I just feel him saying, hey, in addition to whatever you normally would have given, baskets are here in the center. In addition to whatever you normally would have given, would you think about what I've done for you and praise me for that? Sow that seed. And so there's digital ways, and then there's envelopes that you can give in as well. But I just want to bless them, Lord, as they give. Thank you, Lord, for the cheerful giver. Thank you for the one that gives sacrificially. Thank you for the one that gives out of their plenty. But Lord God, most importantly, Lord God, I thank you for their heart. I thank you for their posture, as Pastor Travis said, that Lord, they are giving us unto you. They are giving joyfully, and they're giving to praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you missed Friday, our next altar service will be December 15th at 6:30. That's a Friday. So December 15th, we're going to do another service here at the church in the upper room at 6:30, December 15th. Love you guys. You are sent.